Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Here, the use of the verb bhavet, which is in the imperative mood, tells us that this certainly must be done. Non-compliance would be abandonment of duty. Purport. This imperative is applicable to pure devotees. Neophytes will be able to understand these affairs only after being elevated by regulated devotional service under the expert guidance of the spiritual master. Then they too will also be competent to hear the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. As long as one is in material, conditioned life, strict discipline is required in the matter of moral and immoral activities. The absolute world is transcendental and free from such distinctions because there inebriety is not possible. But in this material world, a sexual appetite necessitates distinction between moral and immoral conduct. There are no sexual activities in the spiritual world. The transactions between lover and beloved in the spiritual world are pure transcendental love and unadulterated bliss. One who has not been attracted by the transcendental beauty of rasa will certainly be dragged down into material attraction. Thus, to act in material contamination and progress to the darkest region of hellish life. But by understanding the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, one is freed from the grip of attraction to material so-called love between man and woman. Similarly, one who understands the pure parental love of Nanda and Yashoda for Krishna will be saved from being dragged into material parental affection. If one accepts Krishna as a supreme friend, the attraction of material friendship will be finished for him, and he will not be dismayed by so-called friendship with mundane wranglers. If he is attracted by servitorship to Krishna, he will no longer have to serve the material body in the degraded status of material existence with the false hope of becoming master in the future. Similarly, one who seeks the greatness of Krishna in neutrality will certainly never again seek the so-called relief of impersonalist or voidist philosophy. If one is not attracted by the transcendental nature of Krishna, one is sure to be attracted to material enjoyment and thus to become implicated in the clinging network of virtuous and sinful activities and to continue material existence by transmigrating from one material body to another. Only in Krishna consciousness can one achieve the highest perfection of life. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim. Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurundinatarinam. Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha. Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Svarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam. Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargenaya Kalpita. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam Prema Pumartho Mahan. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradarahna Paraha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate. Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari. Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Very happy to be back in Sri Radha Gokulananda Mandir, Bhaktivedanta Manor again, after several months. The topic being discussed by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in this fourth chapter of the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the confidential reasons for the Lord's appearance. As a prelude to that, he is talking about the different reasons why Krishna appears in this world. And the verse just previous to this one, the one we chanted today, is a very important verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is a verse that is being referred to even here. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham asthitaha bhajate tadrishi krida iha shrutva tatparo bhavet. So this is a very famous verse and very important. Even if we don't remember the Sanskrit, at least we can remember the meaning of this verse. Shukadev Goswami explains that Krishna descends into this material world to bestow his unlimited mercy upon his devotees. Anugraha, the word anugraha means mercy. Bhaktanam. So to give mercy to the devotees, he descends. And manusham deham asthitaha. He accepts what appears to be a human body. Of course, it's not that Krishna assumes a body like us. We have received bodies like Krishna's. Two hands, two legs, a nose, two ears, and so on. But from ordinary vision, it appears that he has appeared as a human being. Manusham deham asthitaha. And what does he do when he comes here in a human-like form? Bhajate, he enjoys. Tadrishihi krida. Krida means pastimes. She enjoys such activities in the human-like form. Yaha Shrutva, one who hears about this, talking about the devotees and the other conditioned souls of this world, one who hears about these pastimes, Tat Paraha Bhaved. Tat Paraha means one must become completely absorbed in him. And Bhaved means must. So that's what's being referred to here. That the word Bhaved is in Sanskrit grammar what is called Vidhiling, which is in the imperative mood. Just like in English we say, you may do it, you must do it. Right? So there is a difference of emphasis. So similarly, the word Bhaved indicates that you must become devoted to Krishna if you have heard about the wonderful pastimes that are performed by Krishna in his human-like form. And if one does that, then one becomes pure, one goes back to the Supreme Lord. If one doesn't do it, Kaviraj Goswami says, then that is dereliction of duty. So one must do that. One must become a devotee of Krishna, having heard the pastimes of Krishna. So the question may arise that when Kavira or Shukadev Goswami in this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about the pastimes of the Lord in general, why is he so much referring to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the Rasa Leela, and so on? Even in the purport of the previous verse, Srila Prabhupada has talked extensively about this. The reason for this is twofold. One is that this verse, the previous verse, that is, the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Anugrahaya Bhaktanam, appears in chapter 33 of the 10th canto. Does this ring a bell? Chapters 29 to 33 of the 10th chapter are the celebrated Rasa Panchadhyaya. Ras means referring to the Rasa Leela, Pancha means five, and Adhyaya means chapters. So chapters 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33 of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam deal with the Rasa Leela. And so devotees of Krishna relish these five chapters a lot. So because it is in that connection, in connection with the pastimes of the Rasa Leela, that Shukadev Goswami speaks this verse. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given comments about how we should understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna correctly. The second reason also is mentioned in the verse itself, Anugrahaya, to bestow mercy. Krishna is all merciful by nature. And his mercy is exhibited in increasing degrees in different ways. For example, the very fact that Krishna has created this material world is an act of mercy upon conditioned souls like us, so that we can get rectified of our deviant mentality, so that we can eventually surrender to him once again. A higher degree of mercy is exhibited when Krishna not only sends his dear devotees from the spiritual world to come here and preach, but he himself descends here in so many different incarnations, like the boar, the swan, the tortoise, and so on. And he bestows his mercy upon the living entities in this material world. A higher degree of mercy is exhibited by Krishna when he incarnates in a human-like form. For example, Lord Ram. Why is a human-like form considered more special than other incarnations of the Lord? Because there is facility and opportunity for devotees to serve and relate to the Lord in a more intimate way. So when Lord Ram was in Ayodhya, his parents showered their paternal affection upon him, And he also had so many loving relationships with many, many of his devotees in different moods. But even more mercy than that was exhibited by the Lord when he descended in Vrindavan as Krishna. Why so? Because the degree of intimacy of the relationships that Krishna enjoyed with his devotees and the devotees enjoyed with Krishna was much higher. So Krishna is so merciful that he gives devotees in Vrindavan a chance to wrestle with him, fight with him, climb on his shoulders, to admonish him, to run after him with a stick and threaten to beat him, to even bind him to the grinding mortar. So such intimacy is an expression of Krishna's mercy. So we see increasing levels of mercy now. And the ultimate level of mercy is the Madhurya Ras, the conjugal pastimes of Krishna with the gopis of Vrindavan. That is the highest degree of mercy that is possibly exhibited by the Lord. Why so? Because the degree of intimacy that these pastimes afford to the devotees is inconceivable, unimaginable for everybody. There is this famous verse spoken by Shukadev Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nayam Shriyonga Unitantarate Prasadah Svaryoshitam Nalina Gandha Rucham Kutonya Rasotsave Sabhuja Danda Grihita Kantha Labdhashisham Ya Udagad Vrajasundarinam. This is glorifying the good fortune of the gopis of Vrindavan. Vrajasundarinam. Sundari means beautiful, beautiful lady. Vrajasundarinam refers to the gopis of Vrindavan who were exceptionally beautiful. So prasadaha, the mercy that the gopis of Vrindavan received was unparalleled, inconceivable, unimaginable by anyone else, including Lakshmi Devi. Na ayam shriyaha. Shri refers to Lakshmi Devi. Anga. She resides in the very chest of the Supreme Lord. Nitantaratehe. She is very intimately related to him. She is, after all, the consort of the Lord. She engages in very intimate service like massaging his lotus feet and so on. So, na ayam prasadaha. Even Lakshmi Devi could not get such fortune. Svar yoshitam nalina gandha. So na ayam, not even the apsaras and the heavenly damsels who are supposed to be extremely beautiful. In comparison to the beauty of the damsels of the heavenly planets, the beauty of the earth planet is absolutely insignificant. And Nalina Gandha means they have natural fragrance of the lotus flower and the luster of the lotus flower. So even they could not imagine such a good fortune or such mercy. Kutaha Anyaha. What then to speak of ordinary ladies of this earth planet? Such mercy, such good fortune could not ever be imagined by them. What kind of fortune is this? Rasotsave. Utsava means festival. Ras refers to the Rasalila. So during the festival of the Rasalila, Bhujadanda Grihita Kantha. Bhujadanda refers to the arms of Krishna. They went around the necks. Grihita Kantha. Kantha refers to the throat or the neck of the gopis. So this kind of intimacy was made possible by Krishna out of his causeless mercy. And such a favor, such mercy was unthinkable for anyone, even Lakshmi Devi, the apsaras of the heavenly planets. What then to speak of the ordinary ladies of this earth planet? In other words, the dealings of Krishna with the gopis represents the highest degree of mercy that Krishna gives to his devotees. Possibly, there is no higher mercy. So the Rasa Leela is nothing but an exhibition of not only an exchange of transcendental bliss, but it is also an exhibition of the ultimate mercy that Krishna gives to his devotees. So it is the highest in the spiritual world. But unfortunately, conditioned souls of this world see these activities of the Lord through the lens of their conditioned experience. The conditioned soul tends to superimpose his or her conceptions, material conceptions, upon the Lord and his pastimes. So therefore we misunderstand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, or the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, because we see it from the point of view of our experience. Srila Prabhupada used to tell the story, a small story. Once upon a time there was a cow who lived in a barn. And for some reason there was a sudden fire that broke out in the barn. So the cow was naturally frightened and she ran away to save her life. After that incident, whenever this cow would see red color, even if it was a red cloth or any red object, she would be terrified, thinking that this was also fire. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. And she would run away, thinking it was also fire. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada explains, when we see man and woman together in this material world, we have a certain picture in mind of their relationship. But when we see Radha Krishna, we should not superimpose that conception upon Radha and Krishna, or Krishna and the gopis. Just because man and woman relate to each other in a certain way in this world, it doesn't mean that Krishna deals with the gopis in the same way. It's a completely different platform of relationships that has nothing to do with the ordinary lust of this world. The dealings of Krishna with the gopis are situated on the highest platform of spiritual purity and transcendence. So we should never confuse, or we should never equate, the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis with the dealings of the men and women in this world. So that is why this verse has been quoted here. And then in the very first line of the purport to today's verse, Prabhupada says, this imperative, referring to the bhavet, that you must hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and Krishna and the gopis. And if you heard, then you must serve them. So in the very beginning, Prabhupada says, this imperative is applicable to pure devotees. He clarifies the point right away. And then he says, neophytes will be able to understand these affairs only after being elevated by regulated devotional service under the expert guidance of the spiritual master. In other words, what Srila Prabhupada is saying is that yes, we must hear about the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, but eventually, not right away. When we first come to devotional service, we must follow a regulated program for progressive purification, stages of purification. When we come first to Krishna consciousness, we hear about body and soul, we hear about this material world being a place of misery, we hear about Krishna being the Supreme Lord. So we hear all this very fundamental philosophy, which is very important for us to know. And then on the platform of knowledge and the platform of sincere service to Krishna, there is gradual purification of the heart. And we become purified of material conceptions. Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. So by rendering service to Krishna, then gradually we become purified of all these material conceptions of life. And we start developing some attraction and taste for Krishna consciousness. Then gradually our adhikar, or our eligibility to hear these intimate pastimes, increases. Otherwise, we will misunderstand these pastimes. Sometimes it is seen that devotees may prematurely go into very esoteric, intimate pastimes and they become so disturbed. Sometimes they even leave Krishna consciousness. It has happened like that. These very pastimes, which are meant for purifying the conditioned soul of lust completely, can actually have the opposite effect if it is not done properly and at the right time. So by gradually going through this progressive method of purification, we develop more and more taste. Taste is our eligibility. The more taste we have for Krishna, the more we are qualified to hear intimate pastimes of Krishna. Otherwise, we will misunderstand. So it's all a question of higher taste. We have heard this phrase many times, the higher taste. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasovarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Krishna says in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Vishaya vinivartante, when we give up the objects of sense enjoyment in this world and we experience some attraction, raso varjam raso api asya. So even though we have given up these sense objects, the taste for the sense objects remains. It's still there lurking in the heart. But if we engage ourselves in devotional service, in service to Krishna, then very quickly, param drishtva nivartate, we will experience that higher taste. So Krishna consciousness is all about experiencing higher taste in life, obtaining which the lower tastes of sense gratification will become insignificant. Indeed, so insignificant will they become that a great acharya, a great devotee like Yamunacharya says in his famous verse, Yadavadhi mama chetah krishna padarvinde navanavarasa dhamanudyate rantumasit. He says that ever since I have started serving Krishna and hearing about him and serving him in so many ways, I'm experiencing newer and newer tastes in Krishna consciousness. And what is happening because of these newer tastes that I'm relishing within the heart? Tadavadhi batanari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukhavikarah sushtu nishthivanam cha. He says, the moment I think about sex life, about man and woman coming together, I develop a sense of distaste. My lips curl in distaste and I spit at the very thought of it. Now, of course, we can't artificially imitate such a statement, but we can at least understand that this is an ideal of higher taste. That Yamunacharya has received so much taste in Krishna consciousness that the very thought of sense gratification is repulsive to him. Now, this may appear to be a very extraordinary state compared to the condition of the modern world. But that is our goal. We want to get so much taste for Krishna consciousness that everything else becomes insignificant. Yes, so when we start serving Krishna, we actually develop that taste. Every devotee experiences this. There's a little story I would like to tell in connection with Ramanujacharya. There was one time in Sri Rangam, the holy place of Lord Ranganath, a procession that happened, a festival, where the Utsav deity of the Lord was carried out in procession. And naturally, all over the town, there was great celebration. Everybody came to the temple to participate in this Palki Utsav, in the procession where the Lord is carried on a chariot. He goes for a stroll, a Ratha Yatra. And everywhere in the streets, people were coming out of their homes, carrying bhoga to be offered and other gifts to be offered to the Lord. So there was a mood of great devotional ecstasy all over the town because of this. Incidentally, just think what a wonderful culture it was, right? In the midst of all this merriment, there was one person who seem to be completely oblivious of all this transcendental absorption, because he had his own absorption. And what was he doing? He was with a young, beautiful lady, and he was walking behind her, shielding her from the rays of the sun, holding up an umbrella. And then in his right hand he had a fan, and he was fanning her. And he was walking behind her with great devotion. His eyes were fixed on her, and he was oblivious to what was going on around. The Lord was coming in his palanquin, and people were chanting and dancing, but he had no conception of what was going on. He was completely absorbed in this. In fact, people were even making comments about him. They were taunting him. They were mocking him, laughing at him. But he was least concerned. Wish that we could have devotion for Krishna like that, isn't it? So, this went on. One time, Ramanujacharya, soon after that incident, Ramanujacharya went to the river Kaveri for taking bath. And as he was returning, he saw the same man doing the same thing, and he was walking on the other side of the road. Ramanujacharya was wonderstruck. He told his companion Dasharathi, "Please go and tell that man to come and see me now." So Dasharathi went up to this man, and he said, first of all, it took that man quite a while to even recognize the existence of Dasharathi. Dasharathi had to stand there and make himself seen, but still he was completely absorbed in the lady. Finally, he realized that someone else was waiting there to talk to him. He said, "Oh, yes, sir, what can I do for you?" He said, "Do you see the great Ramanuja who is standing there?" He said, "Yes, he wants to talk to you." "Really, the great Ramanuja wants to talk to someone like me?" He said, "Yes, please come, it's all right." So he came to Ramanuja and said, "My dear sir, what can I do for you?" Ramanuja said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Dhanurdas, and I'm a wrestler, and I belong to such and such place. And who is that lady?" "Well, she is my friend, and she considers me her husband. And why is it that you are walking around like this in such a way? There's such a public display of infatuation, and people are making fun of you, mocking you. Don't you feel disturbed that you're making a mockery of yourself in public like this?" So he replied, "But what to do, sir? This companion of mine is so beautiful that my heart is completely captivated and enchanted by her beauty." So Ramanuja said, "Really?" He said, "Yes." And then he said, "Especially those eyes. Oh, those bewitching eyes. I can't take my eyes off her eyes." So Ramanuja was thinking, "My God, this person is really obsessed." So what to do? So Ramanuja was very merciful. He was thinking, "How do I get this person out from this mad infatuation?" So he said, "All right, Dhanurdas, listen. If I can show you another pair of eyes that's more beautiful than these eyes, will you accept it?" He said, "Impossible. There can be no eyes more beautiful than hers." He said, "No, come with me this evening." Anyway, out of deference to the wishes of a great saint, he agreed. And he came at the appointed time to Ramanuja, and Ramanuja took him to the temple of Sri Rangam of Lord Ranganath. And just at that moment, the priest was doing the arati of the Lord, and he was waving the ghee lamp. And the lamp illuminated the lotus face of the Lord and showed his beautiful lotus-like eyes. And Ramanuja took him there and said, "Look, Dhanurdas, look at those eyes. Do you see these eyes?" And Dhanurdas was wonderstruck. It was as if a bolt of thunder had struck him. And of course, it was the mercy of the pure devotee like Ramanuja that his heart completely transformed. And now his eyes were riveted on these transcendental eyes of Lord Ranganath. And by Ramanuja's mercy, his companion also became completely purified of all material conceptions and desires. She was actually somewhat of a pious lady, but a little proud because she was very beautiful. And both of them, then Ramanuja got them married, And they became such a devoted couple that they became Ramanuja's chief grihastha assistant, so much so that he was so close to them that he would walk sometimes to the river and leaning his arms on Dhanurdas. And the brahmachari started getting a little agitated. Why is he giving so much mercy to them and ignoring us? They became so devoted. So this is a wonderful example of how receiving a higher taste in Krishna consciousness, understanding the beauty of Krishna, the love of Krishna, and so on, all the different transcendental attributes of Krishna, everything else of this world fades away and becomes insignificant. That is our ideal. That is our aspiration. We also want to become attracted to Krishna like that. Then our life will become perfect. In any case, for all of us, it is too late. Once Krishna has hooked us up, even if we may have some lingering attachment to this world, very soon it will go away. We can't go back to the material world again. Once we have tasted some happiness in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has quoted this verse, mentioned it, which Srila Prabhupada quotes many times. Smeram bhangi traya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim vanshinyastadhara kishalayam ujvalam chandrakena govindakhyam haritanum mitah keshitirthopakante ma prekshishthastav yadi sakhe bandhu sange stirangah. This is a verse wherein Rupa Goswami is describing the gopis talking to the others, one gopi talking to the others. And she's saying, oh my dear sakhis, my dear friends, just see, here is this man called Govinda. And what is he doing? He's smiling, Smeram. He has a mild smile. Bhangi traya parichitam, he's bent in three places. Which three places is Krishna bent in? The neck, the waist, the knees. Or the ankles. Either way, you can look at it like that. So, here is Govinda, Govindakhyam. He's called Govinda. Keshi Tirtha Upakante. He's standing at Keshi Ghat. And he's smiling mildly. And he has a threefold bending form, Sachi Vistirna Drishtim, and he's casting a broad sidelong glance, and he's holding up a flute to his beautiful lips, which are looking like newly blossomed twigs, Ujjvalam Chandrakena, and it's a moonlit night of the full moon, and because of the rays of the moon shining on his face, he's looking very brilliant and effulgent. Govindakhyam haritanum itaha. And this transcendental body of Govinda is looking supremely attractive. So my dear friends, ma prekshishtha, don't look at him. If you value your friends and your relationships of this world, bandhu sange asti rangaha, if at all you have any desire to continue your relationships with the people of this world, don't look at him. Beware. We warn you. The idea being, of course, that if you look at Krishna, you'll become attracted to Krishna and you'll forget all other attractions and relationships. So this is a literary ornament wherein you apparently condemn something, but you actually intend to praise it. So they're saying, ma prekshishta, don't look at Krishna. But what they want to say is, Bhavet, definitely must see Krishna. You must. You shouldn't avoid it. Sometimes we also speak like this. If we want to condemn or criticize someone or admonish someone, we may use words of praise. For those of you who have children, suppose your child breaks a glass pot or something like that. When you've cautioned him, be careful, but still he does something and breaks it. And you say, very good. Well done. Right? So, if you just take the words themselves, it appears that you are praising your child. But the tone in which you say it and the context in which you say it means that you're using words of praise to condemn. And the opposite is also done sometimes, like the gopis are doing now. Don't look at him, don't look at Krishna. But what they want to say is, look. That's all you should be doing, looking at Krishna. That's what the eyes are meant for. This is the higher taste. This is our process of Krishna consciousness. Bhavet. So that process of Krishna consciousness by which we develop the higher taste will make us gradually eligible to understand the most merciful pastimes of the Lord, like the Rasa Leela and so on. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments?